Good morning, 7:40 here on the Mighty 690. Time for a legislative update here on a Friday. We have Mr. Doug Blex on the line. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Well, just good. I'm glad to get out and see some wet stuff under my feet. That's kind of unusual.
I know, and it was really kind of scattered, a hit or miss. Coffeyville didn't get all too much, but hey, I mean, it all helps, and we had a little better rain further to the east and to the south, but yeah, we'll take anything we can get.
There you go. Well, we'll talk a little bit about the revenue. I just heard a report that you've had earlier, but for the 30th time out of 31 months, we are overall revenue for the state of Kansas has been up. We're now in that 8-month period about $6.13 billion, which is about 9% above last year. Individual income taxes were about 3.1% above the estimate and about 15% the same time last year. Sales tax were 4.4% above. But kind of a little indicator for that I kind of watch is that compensating use, which is out-of-state sales. It was actually down 1.3, and I think that's been about the second or third month that's been down. So people are spending less money online, I guess, which is good for the local merchants. So, but we'll see how things. That does make the coffers pretty well full, and makes decisions for us maybe sometimes easier, but also tougher, because what we've seen this year is just a lot of people knowing full well we have a record budget surplus. They're coming up and wanting a little bigger slice of that pie.
Sure. No, that all makes sense. So, we do appreciate that update there. And kind of switching gears a little bit, you said that there has been some continued discussion on raising the minimum age to buy tobacco in Kansas.
Yes. We only had 8 bills. We only had about two days on the floor. We didn't go back in until Wednesday from the turnaround time. So it was pretty light. Actually, but and sometimes things up there don't make sense. You think they're fairly simple, but generally there's nothing simple up there. It can get into a lot of controversial issues. And the bill that would have raised the minimum age from 18 to 21, which is 21 at the federal level, and locally, even a lot of our stores, particularly the community stores, have already made that decision as a corporate or as a business. They have already raised that minimum age in their own mind. And this would be from 18 to 21, which would put Kansas law in line with federal law. And that would be sale, purchase, and or possession of tobacco products, which would include vaping. And Kansas, we were told Kansas needs to be in compliance with federal law, or else we might lose $1.2 million in federal funding that kind of goes to education and getting pamphlets out to, discourage youth smoking. And, of course, the rub comes when you think that, well, that's a simple fix. Tobacco, for the most part, is not good healthy. But here we get a convenience store employee that may just fail to enter a birth date in, and that's 27, and anything under 27, they have to mandatorily enter that birth date in. And if they just fail to do it from omission or something, then they're subject, the owner is subject to a huge fine. It can be $10,000-$12,000 or more sometimes, and which is kind of a scary deal just for a simple thing that, didn't really sell it to somebody younger, but just didn't enter into the record keeping system. So, and the other side of it, so here we heard the situation, well, if we lose 1.2, but we're going to see a reduction in $7.6 million in sales tax collection. And, of course, here that becomes, the problem becomes complicated because sales tax, as we both know, funds a lot of the local projects in cities, and also there's some of the larger cities have star bonds, and that's sales tax collection used to pay down that bond. So if we here we're in a quandary: do we risk losing $1.2 million, or do we risk losing $7.6 million? So the fight started, and basically then then we had those people that said, well, they're coming into adulthood, and they're 18, and they're eligible to go to war and fight and die for their country. Should they be able to buy tobacco products? So it kind of went south from there, kind of a long debate, and it did pass, but barely. It takes 63 votes minimum, and it only passed 68-53. So you can kind of see some of the different aspects that we have to look at whenever we have a bill that everybody thinks might be simple.
Well, sure, and I mean, I guess it is still kind of a bit of a moot point, it almost seems like, because this is still federal law, so, I mean, like you said, just trying to bring things up with the federal law, I mean, to me, it almost seems like a formality. Is that not necessarily true, or what?
Well, that's true, and ironically, probably the biggest issue that probably people should have been talking about was, and we debated that several years back, but basically, you know, the health issues. And, you know, we protect, you know, kids under 21 so they can't, you know, drink alcohol and some of that issue. But, you know, we had a legislature get up and said, well, my son's in Iraq, and he says the only downtime, and, you know, when he was there was the time he could go back and relax and have a smoke. So, I don't know, individual freedoms, yeah, it sometimes gets crazy, but that's how we do. We put everything into the sausage grinder and mix it up, and hopefully some kind of a product will come out.
Sure, gotcha. Well, now as we continue, you said there was also kind of on that 30% on the food sales and the revenue and everything. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, that was House Bill 2124, which would allow businesses to sell cereal malt beverages by the drink on Sunday, without requiring that 30% of the business's gross receipts were from the sale of food. And this, to me, you know, I'm not a big proponent of alcohol and generally vote kind of against that. But at the same token, this is just another layer of unnecessary paperwork and record keeping that, you know, may prevent a business from being competitive. People are going to drink. Bill would remove the fact that, you know, they got to have at least 30% of their sales in foods, and it impacts quite a few businesses. It makes a lot of record keeping, and they come in and get an audit, and they're in trouble. So that did pass, and you know, it will send that on to the Senate. So we're starting to get some bills done, and we'll look at Senate next week. Yeah, they've got a big agenda next week,
all righty. So now on the just south of, you know, the border into Oklahoma, there has been a lot of discussion recently related to marijuana. Of course, they're going to have that vote here coming up soon. So any new discussion here in Kansas on that topic?
Well, we had the privilege of a caucus invited a group of cannabis supporters. One person that was in the industry had went to Colorado, started a lot of the issues there, invested $70 million, and now is in Missouri doing the same thing, and obviously wants to come into Kansas. And so, and then we had a human resource director from Colorado, and a law enforcement officer from Oklahoma, and a doctor from Oklahoma that has done a lot of research on the impacts of marijuana, have a kind of a debate. Each side give their feel, and we got legislators, senators, and representatives both in the room, and got to ask them. It wasn't actually a formal hearing, but the information was really good, and we got to hear the good, bad, and the ugly on allowing medical marijuana or even recreational cannabis products to be sold in our state. Of course, boy, the Oklahoma law enforcement officer, and even the guy that actually started the industry and supported it says, you know, unfortunately, not anything bad on our southern neighbors. He said, you definitely don't want to do like what Oklahoma has done, because they currently have over 2,500 growers and over 7,000 dispensaries in the state, which makes it really hard to regulate. And by contrast, if you look on a per capita basis of the number of dispensaries per capita, Oklahoma leads the nation with one dispensary for every 2,300 people. And in contrast, California, which you think, wow, is everything goes out there, there's only one dispensary for 68,000 people. So he gave some really horror stories of the issues of the impacts of cannabis products and how it was being abused, and really with the multiple grower, particularly dispensaries, is really tough to give. But another point on the HR director, give a real good informational hearing on the fact that cannabis does stay in the system. So if an employer is doing a drug test, that if you're somewhat of a heavy user, and that would be something 4 to 5 times a week, that basically it would remain a residual and fill up their test for as long as 30 days. And if you're a long-time user, you know, like for months and 6 months at a time and doing that same, it may be even show up in a drug test up to 60 days, which was causing problems with companies that, you know, had drug testing, whether those was random or ever so often. And it isn't like alcohol, where you can do a breathalyzer on an employee or an individual, the way the compounds are structured. So it is causing a lot of problems, of course. You know, obviously the guy that promotes with certainly the sales tax and the tax revenue that comes in and from the state, you know, it's a great source of revenue, they tell us. And however, I've read some studies that come out of Colorado that says for every dollar that is put into the state coffers as a tax from marijuana, there's in excess of $3 in social costs that it costs to, you know, help people or problems or whatever. But it was really a good session, lasted well over an hour, and had a lot of good discussion, a lot of questions to ask. And, you know, the doctor gives, you know, the issue, particularly on youth, that, you know, cannabis products will definitely have a tendency to stunt the brain cells, and that can really have a lifetime impact, particularly, you know, those young brains don't usually fully develop until they're in their 20s. So that was interesting, and the fact that, you know, the suicide has increased. And it had some really good cross-references that kind of told them, at least looks like a link to maybe some of the teen mental health issues, from the impact of possible marijuana, the number of suicides within an increase. So, and the thing we forget, in the 60s and 70s, marijuana products with, you know, in the neighborhood of 2 or 3% THC, and now we're dealing with, you know, some crazy numbers. 20 and 30% is just pretty common, and some even higher.
Sure. No, all interesting points, and I do appreciate you sharing those with us. And anything else that you want to hit on today, as we just have a minute or two left?
Well, next week's going to be busy. We're going to look at bills that would actually establish a woman's bill of rights, providing the meaning of biological sex for as a statute. But I guess it's some of the common, you know, we're going to know what difference between what a woman is, and we look at that in Health and Human Services. So I'm on that committee. That'll come up on Monday. And then looking at pregnancy resource centers, looking at funding them, maybe some alternatives for young women that have some unplanned pregnancies, and creating a born alive infant protection. If an abortion occurs and an infant is alive, they would now have to, if this bill passes, to make efforts to revive and keep that baby alive if at all possible. So be a real busy week. I'm going to be sitting down and meeting with some of the senators on the water bill that just passed the House, and that's going to come over to the Senate, which has been a really historic event.
Well, no, it does sound like it, and appreciate you taking the time to chat with us and, of course, fill us in on a Friday, Mr. Black. So always good to talk with you, and, hey, look forward to chatting again real soon.
All right, thank you. Have a good day, and may God bless us all.
All right, thank you so much, and, hey, let's get some more rain. I'm all about it. All righty. You have a good one. Okay, that's Doug Blacks here on the Mighty 690 as part of our legislative update. And hey, here in just a few, we are going to get into our Ask the Expert segment. We'll have the folks from Skank Insurance in for an update. And then we'll have an early bird edition of Open Line that will be at 8:30. We'll get started right around 8:35. And then at 9:10, we have Sun Group coming in. We'll have an update from them. So that's all on the way on a busy and still a bit of a rainy Friday in southeast Kansas and northeast Oklahoma. So keep it here. We're going up to a high of 56 today for Coffeyville and Independence. So we'll keep you up to date on all that. We've cooled off just a little bit. We're at 39 degrees at the moment and did have a little bit, 0.16 inches of rain. That was our latest rainfall here. So, yes, we'll be right back here on the Mighty 690.